With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem-solving, we do just that. Learn more at Marines.com.
Well, thanks to Skylights there for the introduction song, but Callum, maybe we need to get in touch with Ronan Keating and ask if we could use Roller Coaster, because that's what this season's shaping up to be.
100%, and I'm enjoying it. I said I wanted to be entertained. So far, spot on, thoroughly entertained. Long may it continue.
Well, I don't know if entertainment's the right word, looking back at Sunday's game. Bit of a tough watch, first 45 especially, but you know, you hoped that we were going to be coming back with a positive podcast, and thanks to those of you that are joining us again on the show, and I suppose we have a positive result to look back on, maybe a questionable performance, but we're going to get into that, reasons why.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, yeah, you're right, maybe performance wasn't quite up there, but yeah, positive result once again, and we move on to a very important game on Thursday after as well.
Yeah, we do indeed. It's all about momentum, and that's what we're continuing on. But when you noticed the team lineup, but I'm probably not even sure if you did, judging by the pictures I was getting sent of you, because of course you're one of the lucky 900 to get a ticket for the away end. What was that experience like being back in an away end again?
Very, very strange, but it was very much welcome. It was just brilliant to be back. Good to see sort of the regular faces, all that kind of thing, turn up in this random place and have a good time, enjoy the day out. Good experience, sort of camaraderie kind of thing as well. I'm very eager to get back stuck into it, to be honest.
Yeah, this might be a bit of a test of your memory of the game. So at least people can't slaughter you for not watching the game because you were there. Yeah. But obviously, alcohol-induced might affect some of your recollection.
Yeah, well, we should probably start the show. Yeah, I did watch the game, but yeah, the memory might be a bit off. So just forgive me for that one. But at least if I openly admit it, you know, unlike the Celtic game.
Yeah. We did say we wonder how this podcast will go once fans start getting back to the games, especially away days. But this game saw us make 6 changes from the starting lineup. That started over in Iceland. Were you surprised that Stephen Glass made so many changes? Because I know when we were speaking to you in the preview of for the game, we thought like Scott Brown maybe be rested next week against Wraith. We did touch on potentially Calvin Ramsey getting rested given he'd limped off in Iceland, but 6 changes, that was a huge shock.
Yeah, I didn't expect so many as 6. I thought maybe probably 3-4 max. 6 was a lot. I think it did show it looked like a team that had made 6 changes, and perhaps players weren't quite up to speed as given their lack of match sharpness, I suppose. But eventually we did get there in the end, and I think hopefully we will be better for having made those changes on Thursday, and hopefully we'll see the benefits of them then, even though we didn't quite see them this week. But you know, these things happen, and we'll move on, and hopefully Thursday we'll see reap the rewards. That's what I was trying to say. There we go.
Yeah, but I suppose when you look at, I think at the start and half time, when you make those amount of changes and the game's not going for you, questions are going to be asked. But come 90 minutes, when you get the 3 points, it's almost forgotten about. People weren't talking about how many changes were made. Okay, we had to, you know, bring on Scott Brown, Ramirez, Ramsey got a few minutes towards the end. But to get these players a few minutes on the bench and rest their legs, I think what the amount of changes showed, though, was where the club's focus is for this season, is getting to the group stages.
100%, and rightly so. I think that it would be huge, not only for the actual club in terms of sort of financial reasoning and things like that, but also for the fans. How brilliant that would be after, you know, the last year and a half we've all just had, to actually have some group stages running from now to December, but obviously let's not get ahead of ourselves. We've got a tie to finish off, and then even if we do finish it off, it's not going to be an easy job in the next round either. But huge incentives there, so hopefully we can get there.
Yeah, and I know if Ewan's tuning in from the Talk Livy podcast, I'm eagerly awaiting their review of the game to come out. You know, no reason at all just to see how they reacted to the late winner. But plastic pitch always causes controversy in the top flight. Funzo Ojo picking up an injury in the warm-up, and then Johnny Hayes picking up an injury during the first half, forcing him off to be replaced by Scott Brown. We talked about the depth of our squad, Callum, but when you pick up injuries to players that have started games in Funzo Ojo and Johnny Hayes, it is a bit concerning, especially when we saw maybe Teddy Jenks not living up to what I think the standard that maybe Ojo's provided, Niall McGinn especially not living up to a lot of his hype.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, Niall McGinn was interesting. Watching him play wasn't... it's not... It's sad. It's almost sad seeing him now compared to what he was. Obviously, I think he can still do a job. He's still got his place in the squad as sort of a role player, the experience anyway as well. But yeah, and Teddy Jenks, I think it's possibly a case of maybe just not being up to speed. I'm hoping that's the case anyway, compared to sort of Funzo Ojo.
I don't know, as being someone at the game, but I couldn't really understand or work out from watching at home what role Teddy Jenks had in the team.
I'll put it this way, if you can bloody work out, there's no chance I was.
I know this is probably a silly question, but because I think Johnny Hayes certainly seemed to be the kind of more forward moving player, kind of similar role to that he had against Dundee United. But Teddy Jenks, I thought, was very much ineffective first half, but then he wasn't the only one. Jet again, another poor 45, Niall McGinn. I seen someone say he's potentially going to ruin his legacy. And I think when we talked about McGinn at the end of last season, it was he would probably be better as a substitute rather than a player to start the game, because if we're not getting the best out of him at the start of the game, we're already a man down effectively.
Yeah, no, I would agree, especially after seeing that performance too. That sort of emphasises our point. Sort of the player perhaps maybe could take on and give sort of 15, 20 minutes to and rest the likes of Ramirez or Jett. But it does also still highlight, once again, the need to bring in probably an extra striker, let's be honest. Especially if we are going to continue in Europe as well. We'll see how that goes. Hopefully it's something the club are looking into.
Yeah, and I mean, for those of you that might have watched the sports scene analysis of the game, pretty much every attack in the first half, Jett was nowhere to be seen in the middle of the box or in the middle of the pitch. He was always out wide. So we didn't have that focal point of an attack that the number nine, Christian Ramirez, has been offering us this season to hold up the play. So our attacks were breaking down a lot of the time in that first half in particular. But, you know, Livingston came out the blocks, all guns blazing. Bruce Anderson, some may say, had a point to prove. Whipped in a ball early, but Scott Pittman flashed the ball wide. I think Livingston fans, you and if you're listening, will probably expected Pittman to do better. Probably Callum, an early warning sign of things that were to come, though, because Livingston did cause us problems throughout that first half.
100%, yeah, they started well. We didn't really take that warning, unfortunately, and it sort of was more of a sign of things to come. Eventually, we did get our arses in gear, for lack of a better term.
Yeah, and I suppose, you know, we said we didn't really create much in that first half. The only real chance that, you know, I noted down, or I was going to ask if you can remember, but probably not, was the Ryan Hedges chance where he cut inside on his left foot and he puts it over the bar. He'll probably be disappointed he never hit the target, though.
I think so, and yeah, you are right though in highlighting the fact that there's not much more I can remember about the first half. That was real sort of our only proper opportunity, which was a bit of a concern, but I suppose it did get addressed, which provides some silver lining to it, I suppose. But unfortunately, not to create more chances, you would think, against Livingston, albeit no disrespect to them, and we did make a lot of changes, I suppose.
Yeah, we did. And I think that did have a lot of bearing on our first half performance in particular. But you can't take anything away from Livingston, who, you know, they were solid throughout the 90 minutes. And we'll probably be wondering how they've come away from that game with nothing. But I think, you know, as Martindale said, you know, if they perform like that consistently through the season, they will pick up points more often than not. And, you know, the Red TV commentary team, you know, Rob McLean, his usual negative self, saying about how it's a tricky place to come. Mm-hmm. And, you know, towards the end of the game, we should be happy with a point. But other teams will go to Livingston and struggle to win in the fashion that we did. And possibly, you know, maybe in years gone by, this Aberdeen team would have settled for that point with 5-10 minutes to go. So maybe we're seeing a change in mentality as well.
I think so. It's sort of keep pushing until the final whistle, which is kind of what we saw against Hacken, even though we were, that's sort of two different ends of the spectrum there. Today, well, not today, yesterday we kept pushing for that late winner. And then against Hacken, we just kept pushing beyond and on and on. So it is encouraging to see. I think you are definitely right. Teams will go there and struggle. You know, they set up very well. They had a few chances of their own. And obviously the pitch as well does play into their favour. But I mean, to be fair, they use it to your advantage. Why not? You know, they did well in terms of like breaking up the game as well, and not really letting there be that much flow to it at times. So I don't know, teams will struggle. So to get on with that 3 points is the reason why we're going to win the league.
Good to see your confidence is still flying high after yesterday. Now, you know, we highlighted this, it seems to be weekly just now, about kind of problems. Now, for those of you that are watching on YouTube, we can only apologize for the problems that we had with our last episode, where there seemed to be a lack of sound during the initial upload. We're not sure ourselves what's gone on. Hopefully this episode you're hearing loud and clear so far. And if you are enjoying what you're hearing, just remember to hit that like button and that subscribe button if you haven't done so already. But Callum, the problems that the Aberdeen team have been having this season is giving the ball away cheaply. We said we'd be punished by better quality opposition. I maybe didn't have Livingston in that category. Again, no disrespect. But Niall McGinn gives the ball away cheaply. We concede the corner. From the corner, we don't clear our lines properly, we'll find ourselves 1-0 down.
I mean, there's some questions about that goal. I mean, Lewis maybe should have done better to try and claim it. Anderson is as free as a bird, winning a header in the 6-yard box. I mean, it's Bruce Anderson. He's hardly a target man, is he? There's questions to be asked, and it's... I thought we were getting maybe slightly better defensively. I thought with Gallagher coming in, things might improve. It's a little bit of a concern, isn't it?
We just don't like keeping clean sheets just now.
He hates it. He wants us to be entertained. He's like, oh, give the goal, and then we'll go on and just win the game anyway, in the most dramatic fashion possible. Maybe that's what it is. You know, he knows what he's doing. He's box office.
Yeah, and I think, you know, there was, you know, you've mentioned a few question marks around the goal. Question marks around Joel Lewis, who made an excellent save that obviously led to the corner, but he's going to be really disappointed with his role in the goal. I think defensively, Ryan Hedges and Jack McKenzie should also apportion some blame because they didn't get out quick enough and therefore playing Bruce Anderson onside. But there's been question marks about Longridge's role in the goal because he was kind of standing in front of Joel Lewis when Penrith headed the ball back in. And there was a bit of doubt whether he was blocking Joel Lewis, but I think people have said, oh, he stepped to the side, but is he still enough in Joel Lewis's line of sight that the linesman should be flagging for offside there?
I don't think he really obstructs his view. I think his presence may be slightly off-putting at best, but I think it would have, I'd put this way, if that happened at the other end and it was ruled out, it would have been pretty raging. So
yeah, I've seen that argument as well, but I think, you know, there's a lot of hesitancy from Joel Lewis. He doesn't make his mind up about coming for the ball until it's almost too late. So again, from an Aberdeen point of view, it's just another really silly goal to lose, especially when you look at the manner of the two goals we conceded on Thursday night. There really has to be a lot of improvement defensively. We've talked about the need for an additional striker up top, but we've changed personnel on Sunday and we're still conceding sloppy goals. It's not a good look.
Yeah, not filling me with confidence, but I won't let it knock me too much. I think around us, sort of the main the main gripe with that goal was sort of the hesitancy from Joe Lewis not just come out and claim that, not just come out and clatter Bruce Anderson, because the keeper's really got the protection, let's be honest. And he's not exactly a big fella, Bruce Anderson, is he?
Compared to Joe Lewis, anyway.
Well, yeah, exactly. But on Bruce Anderson, I really wish he just went properly mental, to be honest. Like, rather than sort of like half-arsing the celebration, I'd much rather he just properly riled like everyone up, even taking a booking for the cause and things like that. I would have preferred that, to be honest. It was interesting. It was interesting.
You know, he certainly put his weight around. During the game, and he was certainly on the end of some heavy challenges, Declan Gallagher and Considine. I think it was Dylan McGeoch's challenge in the second half that ended up leading to Martindale being booped. Well, it was. I know you're shaking your head, like, what's going on? But that is what happened. But, you know, Ewan said that he was hoping Bruce Anderson would do well for them this season. I think what we saw yesterday is that there definitely is signs that he will, and you picked up on it as well. You know, it's the type of area that Bruce Anderson loves to be in. He'll pick up those sort of goals. And he did it. And it just had to be him that did it to us.
It is typical, and it was always going to happen, I feel like.
Check your knowledge, though.
I know. But I think he'll probably go on, you know, to grab sort of 10 goals or something from this season. If he does, it's a pretty good return. They can't really knock it. So, fair play, Bruce. Good shit housery. Not the best show, actually, though. But I did enjoy calling a reject, which was quite fun. No hard feelings. It was just funny at the time.
And then I suppose he showed his attacking prowess later on in the half when they broke really well from another attack of ours that broke down, and he played the ball again to Scott Pittman, who just got the ball stuck between his feet. And the shot just trundled into Joe Lewis's welcoming arms, because really when that ball was getting played to Pittman, I was feeling the worst that was going to be 2-0.
Yeah, you definitely weren't the only one. I was pretty terrified, but thankfully we got off lightly. We got off lightly, and eventually we did sort of get our arses in gear. But there was a couple of chances from Livingston that you'd think maybe on another day they could have had that game put to bed in the first half.
Yeah, I think the Livy boys will definitely have been thinking that Pittman could have grabbed himself a hat trick yesterday. Definitely didn't have his shooting boots on. Now, we touched on that Johnny Hayes went off injured, Scott Brown replacing him. Almost an immediate impact in terms of his presence in midfield, going through the back of Pittman. And he seemed to enjoy a personal battle with Jason Holt throughout. I think we all know why that is. But again, I think we're seeing the importance, or how important that signing of Scott Brown will be to this team this season.
Yeah, 100%. We keep saying it, not only his quality, but the effect he has on all those around him. It's just, he's got these natural sort of leadership qualities that just lift the performance of everyone else around him, which is very, very much welcome. And he did get a little tiffle, shall we say, Bruce Anderson as well. I don't know why Bruce Anderson would fancy his chances there, but I mean, fair play for giving it a go anyway, I guess.
Yeah, and I think, you know, again, him and McGeoch in the second half, just the way their partnership seems to be working, we saw it in effect in Iceland, and we saw it again yesterday. Hopefully a blossoming partnership. Maybe not the midfield duo that many of us expected to see this season, but if it's working, what did we say? Don't change a winning team. So
exactly. I think those two are two of our midfielders that are most capable of sort of controlling a game. And it is encouraging. It is encouraging to see. And yeah, as you say, hopefully that blossoms. But I mean, even then, if it doesn't, you still got a big Funso to come back. Ferguson, you know, we'll be fine.
Dean Campbell there as well. Exactly. Yeah, exactly. Lewis Ferguson wasn't even in the squad, obviously. I think that was down to injury, not obviously the transfer speculation that's been rife again due to his dad wanting to get his name in the press again.
Yeah, that seemed weird, didn't it? They seem to love that. But the people around him seem to be doing no favours. See if they just shut up, let him do his thing, score goals from midfield, maybe win something this season, then they'll go and get big money from him. They don't need to be in the press doing that kind of thing. It seems sort of like they seem a bit bitter that their time's up now, and now it's him that's getting the headlines, which seems a bit weird.
Yeah. And I think, you know, his performances so far this season, like you said, he's doing his talking on the pitch. Doesn't need folk doing it for him off the pitch. Now, friend of the show, Michael Monin, he wanted me to pose a question to you, or just in general as a talking point. Don't worry, it's nothing serious that your memory is going to be tested. He was, you know, we were speaking about the games this weekend, and you know, obviously Rangers losing to Dundee United, you know, Hibs winning, Hearts winning, so you know, gaps appearing at the top of the league, the East Coast teams leading the way. But what Michael wanted to know is, will only having three subs this season be a big impact to teams? Because, and it was actually something that I thought when we made that change early in the first, well, sorry, late in the first half, because I was like, I would have Jenks off at halftime as well. I was thinking, well, that would only leave us with one sub in the second half. You know, teams last season were lucky that they could, you know, slow down the game if the manager remembered, of course, that they had five subs. But do you think teams going back to only having three will have an impact throughout the season?
I wish you hadn't mentioned about remembering. That's just annoyed me. But I think it probably will have an impact. It's actually good to be back to normal, to be fair. You may raise a good point. I mean, last season you thought you basically changed half your team. You could change half your outfielders, which seems a bit ridiculous. But I think going forward, it probably will perhaps maybe even benefit us as Aberdeen. Obviously, we've got a pretty good depth, but compared to Celtic and Rangers, for example, their squad depth, if they can go and change half a team, no problems, and things like that. Look at some of the players on the Rangers bench, especially. Then maybe that'll benefit us if they are not able to use all of them, which would be nice. But then I suppose you look at maybe us compared to teams with lesser budgets, and then we do... I suppose it meant, I don't know where I'm going with this, to be honest. I'm confused.
Well, I kind of know where you're going. Yeah, I was going to say, like, you look at teams like Rangers and Celtic that have got the depth. So they've got the options to bring on, okay, they'll only have three. But you look at Aberdeen just now, who aren't particularly got many players like up front, which we've talked about. So an injury there, we're struggling. We're going to keep two players happy so far this season up front. It's going to work both ways, but I think certain teams will definitely benefit from it more, because certainly these teams with the bigger squads, they're going to be struggling to keep those players happy, get them regular game time compared to last season, because like you said, you pretty much change half your outfield team and give them regular minutes. And that's why I think as well, you know, we didn't have the best preseason. We had two games called off due to COVID protocols. So I think your players like McGinn, Jenks, possibly, you know, struggled because they haven't had that match sharpness so far this season.
I'm glad you did understand what I was saying, because I got lost. But yeah,
someone's got to understand you.
Exactly. It's about time. I would agree. But basically, then right now, the only way for these guys to get up to match sharpness is by them playing games, and then you see they don't put in sort of the levels of the performances that you maybe would like them to, or that you're used to with the players who've been playing every week. So it's an interesting one. It's the same sort of, I heard them speaking on the radio, sorry to speak about them, but it was Morelos. He was like quarantining. The only thing he's been doing is training in his hotel. So like the only way he can get up to speed is by playing games. So it's the same with like guys like Jenks and McGinn, which is you know, a bit unfortunate, but that's the way the cookie crumbles.
No, Callum, I totally agree with those points. And I guess that is why, given the standard that Aberdeen have produced probably at the start of the season, when you make so many changes, it became more obvious when our performance levels dropped. You know, we were missing Ramirez, we were missing that kind of energy throughout the team. But, you know, players were there to try and stake a claim and, you know, maybe push on. You know, you look at the likes of Teddy Jenks, Niall McGinn, when, you know, we speak about the forward areas. And at halftime, I suppose you're thinking, right, we need a quick response, get back into this game as soon as possible. And we did it. You know, within 5 minutes of the second half, Teddy Jenks, the player that I suppose many people, I don't know if it was maybe spoken about in the stands at halftime, but certainly online people were a bit questioning of, but a fine strike to get us back on level terms.
Yeah, I think he hit it well. you sort of don't buy a ticket, you don't win the lottery kind of thing. And what a bounce it gave us, let's be honest. I was trying to eat, you know, my little steak pie. I just got a half time. Total bedlam. Somehow I managed to hold on to it, so that's the main thing. But you know, fair play, it took it on. That's all you ask for them. They hit the target, and you never know what'll happen. And I think we saw more benefits of that later on. But no, he took it well. Good strike, and it's encouraging to see he had the confidence to take it on, I suppose, as well. Longridge didn't come himself in glory, mind you, that clearance. I would be absolutely livid if I was a Livy fan.
I'd be more livid as a Livy fan as their keeper, because he'll be very disappointed that he doesn't get a stronger hand to that. Because I thought that at the time, that I was like, the keeper's just palmed that into the side netting. And then I saw a replay and I thought, oh no, like Jenks has just rifled that in. It's the way the ball moved. And I saw it again this morning and I was like, no, I was right. The keeper's got to do a lot better. But yeah, I think so. Livy fans will definitely be disappointed. 100% agree. Clearance was terrible. But I go back to what Lewis Ferguson said in the opening game against Haken, where they were being told to take more opportunities outside the box. And I just wonder if that was kind of similar to Jenks, because we saw it later on in the half where Hedges wanted to pass to Jett and you thought, why aren't you shooting? You know, Jenks just, like you said, took that gamble and it paid off. And it was a perfect time to score because it pretty much left us, I think it was the 48th minute when we equalised. So it gave us pretty much another 45 minutes when you take into the injury time that you may get to go and get a winner. So, and certainly the away end on TV seemed to be very quiet in the first half. But not only did it galvanise the players, but those of you in the stand as well seemed to get a real boost by that goal.
Yeah, we had a good time. We enjoyed it. But it's right. We sort of it did galvanise us a bit. But that's a good point you raised about the Hedges, where he sort of laid it off the Jett. Why is he not just trying to bend that one in the top corner?
On his left foot as well.
Exactly, exactly. There's no reason for him to not take that on. It's interesting because Glass did say in the post-match interview, saying, I think he got asked, he said, are you a bit disappointed with like your lack of attempts? And he said, yeah, I think we are. So it is clearly something that trying to encourage people taking things on a bit more. It's disappointing.
I think on the stats, we had 11 shots, but only 3 on target, which was quite telling. But, you know, we are creating opportunities. However, you know, the goal didn't really kind of change the game, I suppose, as many might have expected, because Livingston reacted by making a tactical change and they got back into the game, created chances of their own. Jack Hamilton flashing a couple of shots wide, and Odubai, his header was well cleared off the line by Ryan Hedges. So, you know, the goal certainly didn't knock Livingston.
No, they came back at us, and I fair play to them. I'm quite happy they did, because it made for a little better watch, I suppose. But thankfully, they didn't punish us. And they were masters of their own downfall. Well, maybe not them as a whole, but their goalkeeper was eventually not great at all. He didn't come himself in glory, which we'll come to, I'm sure.
Yeah, and I suppose, you know, Steve Tosh was during COCOM saying about how, you know, we were missing that focal point when without Ramirez. He came on, but he was largely, I don't think he touched the ball for about the first 10 minutes. But again, you've got to credit the way Livingston, they reverted to 3 at the back, and their change of formation caused us more problems. But they were really, you know, there's a lot of niggly fouls in the game. It seemed to be broken up constantly. But for the amount of fouls that they created, they only ended up with 4 bookings.
I mean, yeah, I think I saw someone say they've now ended up with 10 after the first 2 games. It's not great.
No, but you think four of the bookings were for outfield players, and then 2 were for their manager, assistant manager, Marvin Bartley, trying to square up to Scott Brown was really hilarious. But when you also notice that Dougie Imrie is on their coaching staff, it's really no surprise that Livingston are picking up loads of bookings.
A little nyafs, isn't it? But they did try break up the game. I think they did it to some effect. But it's a good point you make about Christian Ramirez. I remember thinking at the time, going, "Did he touch the ball here?" I think it's not really to do with him. It's more probably due to the lack of service, to be honest.
Mm. Yeah, but it wasn't for a want of trying, especially down that right side. You know, we've mentioned Calvin Ramsey's had a lot of praise this season, but Jack Gurr, I think some are maybe duly still out on him, but I was impressed with him yesterday.
I think so. I think he deputises for Ramsey fairly well. I think maybe in the first half he wasn't maybe so much in the game offensively as much as he was in the second half, but I think he did improve. Unfortunately, that he did obviously pick up a knock too, but
well, I mean, he was absolutely KO'd and wasn't surprised he
picked
up a knock.
Unfortunate though, isn't it? It's still unfortunate he got hurt. Are you not? Do you not think it's unfortunate he got hurt? Are you happy he got hurt?
No, but it's just like, obviously, like the way it came about in that circumstances. But I thought he had a lot of energy about his performance, you know, in comparison to what we've seen. And it's just encouraging the sort of pace and drive that we've seen from the fullbacks this season. Now, for those of you that tuned into the preview episode with Ewan, you'll know there's a running joke between us about the cost of pay-per-view and it being a bit of daylight robbery. But I think the real robbery came from Jack McKenzie. Well, I don't know if that's harsh on Jack McKenzie, because it was a really gift in the end from Max Strychek.
Yeah, I mean, he threw it into his own net, essentially. A bit Joe Louis-esque from last season, really, wasn't it? But I think we've got to give credit to McKenzie where credit's due. He cut in on, hit it on his right hand, right foot as well, which
I was like,
not a strong side. I was quite happy for him to do that, but it was encouraging. And he says he's been working on going forward. I don't think working on hitting the shot at the keeper and the keeper throwing it into his own net quite counts, but it's good to see that he had the confidence to go on and take it on. And it's nice as well, I suppose, after Ramsey's had so much plaudits on the right hand side for the assists he's been getting. It's nice, I suppose, for McKenzie to get the credit, and credit deserved too. And the celebrations were just brilliant.
Yeah, we'll come on to that in a second, but just on that last point you made there about, you know, McKenzie deserving the plaudits, I think it's a really good point. Calvin Ramsey's come in this season and been phenomenal, but Jack McKenzie played more minutes at the end of last season, was solid throughout, rarely put a foot wrong, barring his debut. But again, you know, coming in first start, he got caught out. He would probably admit that himself. But since then, he's been solid, he's been reliable, and he's actually got a really good engine on him, up and down, keeping pace with the wingers. And yeah, I'm really happy that obviously he's gone and got us the winner, and he's now going to get his moment in the limelight, because it often seems it's his friend on the other wing that gets it instead.
Exactly, and that'll only do his confidence the world of good, so hopefully we can see sort of more of that kind of thing. Yeah, he's got a great engine on him, you see. He's looked really solid defensively. I think his in going forward, he's been left wanting slightly, but he says he's working on it. And hopefully that gives him a massive boost, and massive boost going into Thursday as well. You can't knock the fella, really, can you? And
no,
some great scenes.
But I like what you say there, but about, you know, how much he speaks about what he's working on. Mm-hmm. He seems very level headed. He's not getting ahead of himself. He knows he's not perfect. He knows there's still areas to work on, and and he's openly admitting that. And that's really refreshing to see as well. And obviously the more he develops, he'll improve as a player as well, which will only be a benefit to us as a club.
Exactly. It is encouraging to see in his interviews as well. He seems a very grounded lad, which is good to see, because how many times have we seen young players come through thinking they're Billy Big Bollocks because they played 5 minutes for Aberdeen once upon a time. So it's nice.
Yeah. No, definitely.
Not speaking about anyone in particular. Just saying.
Well, let's get on to the celebrations then. A hot topic of discussion online last night. What was that like for you? Obviously, for those of us at home, not getting to enjoy that was something that most of us have longed for, seeing that last-minute winner.
Exactly. Unfortunately, I didn't end up on the pitch, but I can't blame anyone who did, in all honesty. That was, whatever, 16 months, however long it's been, of release, really. In a 94th minute winner, you can't blame anyone for getting carried away, surely. And if you are, then probably get a life, is what I would say. Probably get some abuse for that. But I mean, what can you expect? People have been, that sort of moment is what people have been waiting for all this time. you know, we've finally been able to get a day out with our pals, whatever, that kind of camaraderie, and that sort of release at the end just sort of summed it up perfectly. And
I think as well, for me, as someone that wasn't there, kind of like looking at it on the outside and as a whole, because I know there's obviously fans, other fans of Scottish football clubs that reveled in seeing those scenes, and again, some that don't. And we've all seen the Livingston videos that are very amusing.
Disgusting.
But what it means to us as a group of fans, we are seeing a team that are passionate about playing for this club. They are connecting with the fans. The fans are buying in to what is being put onto the pitch. There is a togetherness being generated between players and fans. Mm-hmm. And when you've seen the results that have occurred this weekend, even the first weekend, so Celtic have lost a game already this season, Rangers have lost a game this season, Hearts were sitting top of the league, Hibs were 3-0 up. We're thinking, we've been speaking about the fixtures and how kind they've been to us. What a huge goal. We're keeping a 3-point gap over the Glasgow 2. We're keeping tabs on Hibs and Hearts, setting up a really mouth-watering prospect in our next league game at Tynecastle. I just struggle to think that for other fans just wouldn't be acting the same.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And to be honest, any club, if any club scores 94th minute winner, and I'd be more concerned if people weren't behaving like that, to be honest.
I'm more concerned there's folk that just thought, you know what, I'm just going to stand here in Aberdeen and get my phone out and film it. How can you sit there as a football fan and not go absolutely mental when your team's just scored a last minute winner?
And also, it's not as if they've, you know, hopped a load of fences. The gates literally just aren't locked, nothing. They just swing straight open. So even if you ran down to the front and then got pushed into it, you'd end up onto the pitch.
I mean,
I'm sure people might not be happy, obviously, but I think in the heat of the moment kind of thing, it's always going to happen. And sort of deal with it, basically. That's all I want to say.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I think so. It's just going to be one of them things that we... And I think, you know, the way Stephen Glass handled the questioning of it in the press was excellent. Mm-hmm. Saying, you know, tell me there's not going to be another set of fans that do that this season. Tell me there's not going to be another set of fans that wouldn't celebrate in that same fashion. Because there's not. Like, it's going to happen again. Mm-hmm. And it's great to see. And as someone said, I think they were a Motherwell fan or could have been a Hearts fan, that said last night, that passion in our game is what separates us from the English sanitized game.
Yeah, I 100% agree. There's not much more to add to it, really, is it?
Yeah.
It was just the release of all that time it's been, and it's a 94th minute winner. Mm-hmm. People get lost in the heat of the moment kind of thing.
And also great to see, though, you know, kind of given the kind of farce in a sense, I'm surprised we never even touched on it, about the way the tickets were sold for this game with the priority points. That those who wanted a ticket got a ticket and were rewarded with a fine 3 points.
Exactly. And thank goodness for that. And thank goodness for Jack McKenzie. I'm not even going to bother touching on the loyalty points thing. I've said a bit on Twitter. Not going to do it.
But, you know, I touched there about Stephen Glass's comments, you know, in defending the fans, but he defended the players as well and saying, you know, that they're putting in performances. This group are determined to win games.
Mm.
And we're seeing that. You know, you touched on there in the Hacking game, the determination, even at 3-1 up, we kept going, won that 5-1. But again, you know, Rob McLean said with about 5 minutes to go, do you think the team would be happy, you know, to come away with a 1-1? Steve Tosh was like, there's still 5 minutes to go and win this game.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And I'm glad that Glass and the players have the same mentality as Steve Tosh and not Rob McLean, just to be satisfied with a point.
Yeah, 100%. It's good to see them keep pushing for that 3 points. They obviously know as much as us, if not possibly more, how important that sort of 3 points is. Carry on our good start, carry on this winning breeds confidence kind of thing going into a huge game on Thursday. And long may this continue. Viva Glassball, basically.
Yeah, and I suppose that momentum, like you said, carries into Thursday night. obviously we got the news after we recorded that we're going to have a full crowd, well, fuller than the 6,000 that we've seen previously. I think, you know, there was 5,000 tickets sold within an hour, although I think they kind of stuttered to just over 8,000 before general sale started this morning at 9 a.m. Since then, Red Shed sold out, but it's great to see. And I think results like Sunday will help drive people wanting to come along to the game on Thursday.
Definitely. And I mean, if you think, if we then go and get another good performance after people have been dying to go back and they have bought a ticket for Thursday, if we go and get put in another good performance, another entertaining game, another positive result into the next round, you'd like to think that sort of momentum off the park would continue too. And I hope so. I think people have been dying to get back, and it's a good time to be an Aberdeen fan, I think, right now. Dare I say it?
Yeah, it is. You know, and it was mentioned in our group chat today about just how good that Monday feeling is once there's a good result, and you know you're falling back in love with the football again. And I know it's obviously we touched on at the start of the show there about the club's shift. The focus seems to be on European football this season. I was chatting to Mark Bowl today, for those of you that listened to that preview with Breedle Bit. He was saying he's managed to get himself a ticket, Callum. The board of directors from Breedle Bit have invited him to be within their company. So nice touch for Mark there. But he's also said there is an expected travelling support coming over that will be housed in the main stand. Interesting to hear there's going to be away fans, given the permutations around majority of away fans travelling to Europe this season. But another step towards normality, and also kind of a bit of excitement, I think, having away fans in the game.
I think so. It's good to see. It adds sort of another element to the game, obviously. You know, there's not going to be thousands of them, but it's encouraging. It's encouraging, and it's also a bit weird that after so long, like you wouldn't have believed after that Hibs game that the next slot of away fans would be some Icelandic people. 18 months later, or whatever down the line. But no, it's great to see, and hopefully they have a nice time in the Granite City, but not. They don't come away with a result. That'd be nice.
Yeah, I also like how our last two away games, and just thinking about it, have also ended up in pitch invasions, because the last away game would have been St Mirren in the cup.
Yeah.
Where these glasses came about.
Yeah, bad reputation we're developing for ourselves here. Who's me?
Great.
Tell you, if there's another pitch invasion at Tynecastle, then I'd be worried.
Yeah, well, obviously, interesting news there that Hearts have been allowed a full crowd, but we'll wait to see whether or not away fans will be allowed in, similarly for the weekend's game against Wraith. Mm-hmm. But Calum, looking ahead to Thursday, confident that we will get the job done?
Yeah, I think so. I think that didn't kind of sound convincing. I'm fully aware.
No, it didn't.
But no, I think it'll make a difference. I obviously went over to their patch, came through with a maybe not quite so convincing win, but a win nonetheless. And going into the second leg, that's all you can really ask for, considering their performance in the previous round. And you'd like to think that in front of a good crowd at Pittodrie, a boisterous crowd, you'd probably imagine that they'll be able to get the job done. You'd think so.
Yeah, I think, you know, I'd have probably liked to have been going into this game with a 2-goal lead, not just the one, but we're going into a game at home in Europe with a lead. Like you said, in front of a likely boisterous crowd, I think regardless of if they're boozed up or not, it'll be a good atmosphere. And we've managed to give a few players a wee rest. Scott Brown getting a little bit, Ramirez, Ramsey. So players that are going to be vital to us on Thursday night, who were important over in Iceland, have got themselves a little bit of a break and hopefully raring to go on Thursday.
Yeah, 100% agree. Glass was saying hopefully Ferguson will be good to go for Thursday. He thinks Ojo will be. Also, don't know the extent of Johnny Hayes' injury. Apparently, someone noticed him leaving in a boot, or on the sideline in a boot, which doesn't fill me with great confidence. And I, of course, didn't notice that myself. But
it wasn't shown on the TV coverage. So, and if it was, then I wasn't paying attention at that moment.
Well, you weren't the only one, I'm sure. But I think we've got reasons to be. Positive, and hopefully, as I said at the end of the last episode, we'll have a positive podcast after that as well.
Yeah, we will. It's a cup double coming up, obviously, on Thursday in Europe, and then Premier Sports Cup action on Sunday as we head down to Kirkcaldy. So hopefully we've got a playoff round to discuss. When we chat again on Friday, Callum, I'm sure we'll both be feeling a little bit tender on Friday, but hopefully for the right reasons and not the wrong reasons. So just thanks again to those of you that have been tuning in, whether it's listening, make sure you're following wherever that is. And if watching on YouTube, to hit that like button and subscribe, leave a comment down below. We really do enjoy getting the feedback, and on our Twitter page, at RTG_podcast. It's great hearing your thoughts, even getting a few DMs of people singing the various songs that have been getting shouted out on the podcast. Callum, I think you've got another one for the people.
Oh, you're going to make me do it, are we? I won't listen to it, but I will, I'll spread the good word.
I think you should sing it.
I think I should sing it, okay.
Yeah.
Considine and Calvin Ramsey, Ramirez and Jack McKenzie,
that's entertainment.
It's pretty straightforward, but it was thoroughly enjoyable. I think we started to say it in the Brodie on Thursday, and then people were also saying it at the game on Sunday, so it was just good to see. I'm thoroughly enjoying taking these old songs and turning them into Aberdeen-related ones. But so there you go. You're welcome for that. Hopefully, we'll hear that on Thursday. Ringing round Pataudry, I'll be very happy then. But I think on that note,
see what song we've got for you come Friday.
Exactly. So you have to come back for that. So as Glenn said, make sure you subscribed, notifications on, and you'll get some more songs, hopefully. Thanks very much for tuning in. Let's hope for another Dons win. Podcast Network.